Hello, kids. This is part two of our story, Humble Puppy. Let's read. So sometimes on a working morning, I'd be at my wit's end, almost on the point of going across the town to our ex-neighbors, ringing the bell and saying, "Please can Fred come and play?" Especially on a rainy, uninviting day when Taffy was pacing gloomily about the house with a drooping head and switching tail, grumbling about the weather and the lack of company, and blaming me for both. Humble Puppy's arrival changed all that. At first, Taffy considered it necessary to police him, and that kept him fully occupied for hours. He'd sit on guard by the deed box till Humble Puppy woke up in the morning, and then he'd follow officiously all over the house. Humble Puppy was slow and cautious in his explorations, but by degrees he picked up courage and found his way into every corner. He never once made a puddle. He learned to use Taffy's cap flap and go out into the garden, though he was always more timid outside and would scamper for home at any loud noise. Planes and cars terrified him, which made me still more certain that he had been in that feed box for a long, long time, since before such things were invented. Presently he learned, or Taffy taught him, to hide in the lavender bush like Whiskey, Charity, Titanus, and Fred, and the two of them used to play their own ghostly version of Touch Last for hours on end. When visitors came, Humble Puppy always retired to his deed box. He was decidedly scared of strangers, which made his behavior with Mr. Manningham, the new rector of Riverland, all the more surprising. As I was dying to learn anything I could of the old rectory's history, I'd invited Mr. Manningham to tea. He was a thin, gentle, quiet man who had done missionary work in the Far East and had fallen ill and had to come back to England. He seemed a little sad and lonely. I liked him. He told me that for a large part of the 19th century, the Riverland living had belonged to a parson called the Reverend Timothy Swannett, who had lived to a great age and had had 10 children. He was a great uncle of mine, as a matter of fact. "But why do you want to know all this?" Mr. Manningham asked. His long, thin arm hung over the side of his chair. Absently, he moved his hand and sideways and remarked, "I didn't know you had a puppy." Then he looked down and said, "Oh! He's never come out for a stranger before," I said. Humble Puppy climbed invisibly onto Mr. Manningham's lap. We agreed that the new rector probably carried a familiar smell of his rectory with him, or possibly he reminded Humble Puppy of his great uncle, the Reverend Swan. Anyway, after that, Humble Puppy always came scampering joyfully out if Mr. Manningham dropped in to tea. So, of course, I thought of the rector when summer holiday time came around. During the summer holiday, we lent our house and cat to a lady publisher and her mother, who are devoted to cats and think it a privilege to look after Taffy and spoil him. He's always amazingly overweight when we get back, but the old lady has an allergy to dogs and is frightened of them too, So it was plainly out of the question that she should be expected to share her summer holiday with the ghost of a puppy. So he asked Mr. Manningham if he'd be prepared to take Humble Puppy as a boarder, since it didn't seem a case for the usual kind of boarding kennels. He said he'd be delighted. I drove Humble Puppy out to Riverland in his D-Box. He was rather miserable on the drive, but luckily it is not far. Mr. Manningham came out into the garden to meet me. We put the box down on the lawn and opened it. I've never heard a puppy so wildly excited. Often I'd been sorry that I couldn't see Humble Puppy, but I was never sorrier than on that afternoon as we heard him rushing from tree to familiar tree, barking joyously, dashing through the orchard grass. You could see it divide as he whizzed along, coming back to bounce up against us, all damp and earthy and smelling of leaves. "He's going to be happy with you, all right," I said, and Mr. Manningham's gray-lined face crinkled into its thoughtful smile as he said, "It's the place more than me, I think." Well, it was both of them, really. When the holiday was over, I went round to collect Humble Puppy, leaving Taffy Hearty and Standfish sniffing our cases. It always takes him a long time to forgive us for going away. Mr. Manningham had a bit of cold and was sitting by the fire in his study, wrapped in a Shetland rug. Humble Puppy was on his knee. I could hear the little dog's tail thump against the arm of the chair when I walked in, but he didn't get down to greet me. He stayed in Mr. Manningham's lap. "So you've come to take back my boarder," Mr. Manningham said. There was nothing in the least strange about his voice or smile, but I just hadn't the heart to take back Humble Puppy. I put my hand down, found his soft, wrinkly forehead, rumpled it a bit, and said, "Well, I was sort of wondering. Our spoilt old cat seems to have got used to being on his own again, and I was wondering whether, by any chance, you'd feel like keeping him?" Mr. Manningham's face lit up. He didn't speak for a minute. Then he put a gentle hand down and rubbed a finger along Humble Puppy's chin. "Well," he said, he cleared his throat. "Of course, if you're quite sure. My throat needed clearing too. "I hope you won't catch my cold," said Mr. Manningham. I shook my head and said, "I'll drop in to see if you're better in a day or two," and went off and left them together. Poor Taffy was pretty glum over the loss of his playmate for several weeks. We had 2 hours purgatory every morning after breakfast while he hunted for Humble Puppy high and low. But gradually the memory faded, and thank goodness now he has found a new friend. Little Gray Furry, a nephew, cousin, or other relative of Charity and Fred. Little Gray Furry has learned to play hide and seek in the lavender bush, and to use our cat flap and clean up whatever's in Taffy's food bowl. So all is well in that department. But I still miss Humble Puppy. I miss his cold nose exploring the palm of my hand as I sit, thinking in the middle of a page, and his warm weight leaning against my ankle as he watches the TV commercials. and the scratch-scratch of his toenails on the dining room floor, and flump-flump as he comes downstairs in the small hollow on the cushion as he settles down with a sigh. Oh well, I'll get over it, just as Taffy had. But I was wondering about putting an ad into Our Dogs or Pets Monthly. Wanted, Ghost of Mongrel Pup. Warm welcome, loving home. Any reasonable price paid. It might be worth a try. Goodbye, kids. And sleep tight.